Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for the phrase, Come to Jesus Meeting. During the afterglow of the State of the Union address, the holy and anointed one and all-around best shoulder rubber from Delaware, President Joe Biden, was overheard bragging to Senator Mike Bennett that he had told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that they needed to have a Come to Jesus meeting about the ongoing war in the Gaza Strip. Obviously, it is unacceptable to tell the Jewish leader of the Jewish nation that what he needs is anything even metaphorically relating to Jesus, let alone to meet the Messiah he does not believe in. Even though Biden claims Netanyahu understood the expression,
I've known Bibi for 50 years, and he knew what I meant by it.
It's clear from listening to Bibi himself that this is not the case.
Well, I don't know exactly what the president meant.
And despite Biden's attempt to explain away the clear religious intolerance of the phrase,
what do you mean by that?
What I meant was, it's an expression used in the southern part of my state, meaning a serious meeting.
This weak sauce justification does not survive even the basic wokest scrutiny. Now, fortunately for the hair sniffer in chief, his lifetime golden immunity card for any and all verbal gaffes is still in good standing. However, this incident has made us reflect upon the Christian cultural imperialism at the heart of this formerly common expression. Obviously, the phrase can't be said to anyone who's not a Christian, which is most of the world's population, including Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, Sikhs, Jains, Zoroastrians, Baha'is, Taoists, Confucians, and, of course, atheists. But even to other Christians, what a hostile and judgmental thing to tell a fellow believer that they're doing Christianity so wrong that they need to re-encounter the Son of God. What next? Shall they be told that they should go forth and sin no more? That they must forsake everything and come follow Jesus? No! None of these admonitions are allowed. No talk of being blind and then later seeing. No call for Damascus Road epiphanies. No eyes having seen the glory of anything ever. And certainly no telling Jews that they need to come to Jesus. He who can do no wrong did a wrong. Let it never be done again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, saying cheese when taking school photographs. As the wonderful Level 3 Certified Priests of Animal Equity at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals have taught us this week, there is a gross verbal injustice being perpetrated upon our precious and vulnerable children during school photos every year. The practice of having them say, cheese. To induce a smile, which of course serves only to remind children of bovine suffering at the hands of their dairy farm oppressors. Considering the cruelty and anguish endured by cows everywhere who are routinely exploited as milk machines, it is the height of speciesist language to make the food byproduct of cow enslavement a prompt for artificial happiness in photography. Simply put, cheese is no smiling matter. The exploitation of mother cows, the non-consensual taking of calf sustenance, the utter atrocity of it all is almost too much to bear. As PETA explains in their very enlightening press release on the matter, say cheese is so last century. But as Vikram's fifth dictum of linguistic evolution teaches, we must always provide a replacement for the newly forbidden term, lest the faithful backslide into their former speech habits. So what then are we to use as a verbal alternative to the horrifyingly callous phrase, say cheese? Well, here are some suggested alternatives from PETA. Say peas. What child doesn't love the flavor of little balls of green happiness bursting in their mouths? Say bees. Everyone knows the vital role bees play in our global ecology, and learning to appreciate them would be a wonderful switch. Say sneeze. It may sound silly, but what child doesn't enjoy the absurdity of thinking about sneezing while taking the class photo, and if they happen to actually sneeze in the process, so much the better. But my favorite substitute from PETA by far is the educational phrase, say nutritional yeast. Now children everywhere can consider the miracle of fungal fermentation when they're sitting for snapshots. Of course, if say cheese is to go, just as obviously we should stop referring to trite or clumsy romantic overtures as being cheesy, as though bovine trafficking is mere wink and nod silliness. We never want to refer to someone in authority or significance as the big cheese. And clearly, we can teach children actual biological terms like flatulence instead of letting them say, cut the cheese. In thus cleansing our language of all cheese references, PETA is again bending the arc of the moral universe toward justice. Justice for cows. Yes, just as PETA has in the past encouraged us to replace bring home the bacon with bring home the bagels, and to give up saying kill two birds with one stone in favor of feed two birds with one scone, we now thank them for creating a global revolution, raising cow empathy by having oddly dressed children everywhere smile widely while saying the new animal-honoring phrase, nutritional yeast. What fun. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a note of celebration for the ongoing work of the U.S. Army to remake itself into an organization which is less violent, less warlike, and of course, less patriotic all the time. In this case, the United States Military Academy is changing its mission statement to remove the words duty, honor, country, famously uttered by General Douglas MacArthur during his 1962 speech at the institution.
Duty, honor, country.
As the new announced mission statement from Superintendent Lieutenant General Steve Gilland says, it will be identical to the old one, except that instead of saying each graduate shall be, quote, a commissioned leader of character committed to the values of duty, honor, country, the new verbiage will be commissioned leader of character committed to the Army values. He says the duty, honor, country will still be in the motto of West Point, as it has been since 1898, but cadets will no longer say it in the mission statement. Of course, we love this. In part because it separates West Point from the quarter century of tradition, quoting some warmongering general of yore. In part because any time we can get members of the military to be less devoted to silly ideas like duty, honor, and country, that's healthy. But the real reason we adore this change is because it switches from three specific, comprehensible, and substantial virtues to vague placeholders that carry no real content whatsoever, which can thus be shaped anew with each passing shift in the cultural winds swirling around the academy. Now, instead of contemplating whether they're being dutiful, honorable, or patriotic, cadets can simply ask themselves whether they're being army-ish, whatever that means. And because it means nothing, it can mean everything or anything we decide. But we especially love the implied declaration that just because someone actually wore five stars on his shoulder, that his words carry no more importance than whatever insignificantly bland terminology a mere three-star dreams up today. Of course, we can only hope the Boy Scouts of America will follow this lead and shed their long-standing and cumbersomely specific scout law. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And instead, scouts can simply say, a scout is very scout-like. So much the better. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, remember to fill out your evidence of virtue cards found in the bulletin and drop them in the tabulator at the rear of the sanctuary. Be sure to indicate how many times this week you reported as offensive a social media post by a conservative, how many times you audibly praised President Biden for his good work on the economy while you were gassing up your car or buying groceries, and how many times you used the labels homophobic, transphobic, anti-choice, racist, or microaggression in the past week. Remember, the bottom 10% of scorers will be serving detention in Fellowship Hall this Saturday. Refreshments this week are provided by Hair and Hair Alike, nutritional fiber biscuits made from recycled barbershop sweepings. Finding new ways to make life miserable, these tasty morsels will really tickle your insides pink with their unpatented cleansing bristles. Make a clean sweep of your lower intestinal tract today with Hair and Hair Alike biscuits. You can really taste the despair.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.